This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, we can see it's the last Friday of the month of Ramadan. For many reasons, everybody's very, very tired looking in the masjid today. Alhamdulillah. And the roads are also very full. I don't know if that is related to Ramadan or not. But the message today, probably from every pulpit, is going to be, it's not over until it's over. Right? إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ The Prophet, peace be upon him, said that our actions are according to how they end. And more important than how you begin Ramadan is how you end Ramadan. So today we're going to speak a bit about how to end Ramadan in the best and most excellent way, inshallah ta'ala. So we have one odd night remaining, that's on the 29th. It's still a possible Laylatul Qadr, right? And it's unfortunately, it's the one that many people skip because the 27th is over, so, you know, we take it easy now. Now we're worried about Eid. I think the signs are that in all probability, we'll have 30 days of fasting as opposed to 29. So we don't need to worry about Eid just yet. The best way to spend the end of Ramadan. We can make an analogy, a qiyas, on all forms of ibadah in Islam. We see that as we end an act of ibadah, there are certain commonalities, certain ways that an ibadah should be ended. We see this in salah, for example, when we end our salah, we say, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. So the etiquette of finishing an act of worship is to have a sense of regret, a sense of remorse for not having done your best. And even if you did your best, it isn't the best as far as what is presentable for Allah. So we always do some introspection, we look at our deeds and we think, I could have done so much more. I could have done that. Not with the sense of negativity. Not to fall into such a regret where you miss the glad tidings of Ramadan. But it's a way of checking yourself and doing certain assessments within yourself. How can I improve next time? That's the point. Should Allah grant me the tawfiq for that. And then we also make istighfar after any act of ibadah because of our imperfections in fulfilling that act. So if a person makes salah, are they 100% conscious of Allah from the very beginning of the prayer until the end of the prayer? Never wavering in the least, never thinking about anything bad or anything of the dunya. I don't think anybody can manage that, right? Not any normal human being. But we have this phenomenon of istighfar at the end of a deed. Then we learned also from Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So we can use his qissa and learn a thing or two. When he built the Kaaba, now remember we spoke about this, we said, imagine if you and I were to build the Kaaba, you know, every history book after that will have it written in there, because we'll make sure that it mentions that. It's something significant. But he teaches us that when you accomplish something, the etiquette is not one of I achieved, but rather one of Allah had granted me the ability and the tawfiq to achieve. So he made the dua, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ O Allah, accept from us. Indeed, you are the all-hearer, the all-knowledgeable. وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ We repent to you, grant our repentance. You are the acceptor of repentance, the most merciful. What do we learn from this? Again, you see, accept our repentance. So they're asking forgiveness after they built the Kaaba. They didn't do anything wrong, but they are looking at What is this in comparison to what Allah deserves? Right? But we learn something extra from the dua, and that is qabuliyya, acceptance. Acceptance. So we cannot take it for granted that we automatically are going to have our deeds accepted. We can't take it for granted that we are from among those whose du'as are accepted, or whose Ramadan is accepted, or whose fasting is accepted. You never take that for granted. You always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it from you. It's like the servant bringing the master a cup of tea, for example, and then the master says thank you, but then if the master takes a sip and decides, no, I don't want this tea is not good, it sends the servant back. And this is why in the du'as that we make, what we say, وَلَا تَرُدُّوهُ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَى. Every night in Taraweeh, it's built into our culture. وَلَا تَرُدُّوهُ عَلَيْنَا. Oh Allah, don't reject our deeds. إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَى. Indeed, you are the one who hears prayers. So ask Allah for forgiveness. Ask Allah for acceptance. So there's two du'as so far. Du'a number three, we all know this du'a as well. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. What does this du'a mean? Oh Allah, oh our Lord, do not deviate our hearts. Do not cause our hearts to deviate. بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. After you had guided us. This is a very important one as well. Because we are asking Allah, oh Allah, now that you've guided us, let us keep this gift of guidance, this gift of hidayah. Let us not stray from it. So these are three very, very important du'as that we should implement. Not necessarily the verbatim words, but an implementation thereof. Number one, istighfar. Ask Allah's forgiveness for any imperfections. Number two, qabuliyya. Ask Allah's acceptance of our deeds. Right? Number three, ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps us guided, doesn't deviate our hearts. Is another form of saying this, Allahumma ahituna bittaqwa wal istiqama. Oh Allah, enshroud us with piety and consistency. So Ramadan brings us the piety. May Allah grant that to us. And then it is our duty to ensure consistency. So consistency, like people sometimes speak about how they wish Ramadan could just go on, or you know, how they wish that we could always have Ramadan. But it wouldn't be like this Ramadan. It wouldn't be the same. Because immediately, your ability to persist would stop. You can't keep that up perpetually. So to imagine that we're going to be exactly like we are now in Ramadan, outside of Ramadan, that's not something that's possible for most people. So what is the yardstick? The yardstick, the measurement tool to see that we are actually making progress, is not that we keep the same as in Ramadan, but that we keep some of what we attain in Ramadan. Just some. Some could mean one or two extra sunnahs that we do. Some could mean I never used to read Quran except in Ramadan. Now I read Quran a little bit also outside of Ramadan. That's some. Some could mean I never prayed in Jama'ah. Now I pray in Jama'ah sometimes. Right? We need to set tangible yardsticks, tangible goals that's attainable, that is, you know, within reach. Don't be unrealistic. No, you see, I'm bachaing now in Ramadan every day, two juz. So outside of Ramadan, I'm going to bacha two juz. If you manage one juz a day every day outside of Ramadan, that would be magical. Just bacha some Quran every day. 20 minutes of Quran a day. 30 minutes of Quran a day. 10 minutes of Quran a day. Even if you want to do 5 minutes of Quran a day. Keep something. So we pray for we ask Allah for forgiveness. We pray for acceptance. And we pray for consistency, that Allah doesn't deviate our hearts after He has guided us. This is the general etiquette supplications that we should see through till the end of Ramadan. The night of the last day, the night of the last day is called Laylatul Ja'iza, the night of the prize giving. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he told the Sahaba that this is the night of the prize giving. So the Sahaba said, but is that Laylatul Qadr? So he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, no, that's not Laylatul Qadr. This is separate to Laylatul Qadr. This is your certificate of completion. And then he asked the Sahaba, is it not befitting that a servant gets the certificate of completion or the prize at the end of the act, at the end of the act of ibadah? So that is the special gift that we get at the very end of Ramadan. So let that gift not catch us and we've completely forgotten about everything. We need to try to keep some momentum, try to keep some ibadah till the very end, to the point that although there are no specific reliable sources for this, many scholars have practiced on staying awake the night of Eid. To some extent, of course, you don't have to stay awake the whole night, but to some extent, keep the night of Eid alive as you keep the last 10 nights alive. There are some, albeit weak, narrations that mention the person who keeps the nights of Eid alive, and then a few other nights are mentioned, that person's heart will be kept alive when all other hearts have died. And again, the sources may not be authentic, but this has been the practice of our pious predecessors for many generations, and they found lots of khair in it. They found lots of good in that. Now, there are many cooking programs, right? There are many cooking programs, there are many takbir programs where jama'as go from home to home reciting takbir. There are many charities, like giving children who fasted for the first time this year. That happens all the night before Eid, the day of Eid. We can give some of our time to some of these things. And if we can't give of our time and our money, then at least just give of our money so that we can benefit of all of these khair, of all of these acts of goodness. I'm going to give you a tip. This is like a bonus tip, right? So we would love, all of us, we should have the desire to have a lot of money that we could give for the sake of Allah. That must be a desire. But if you don't have a lot of money, you can still take part in all the goodness. How? This is a tip, right? Every charity that comes your way, every single charity that comes your way, they ask money to do this. Give the minimal amount that you can give to that charity. Then you have a percentage of whatever good they do for all eternity. Right? So if you find a charity comes and they say, look, any amount will do, then give any amount. Right? The point is not to make yourself bankrupt. If you can afford more, bismillah. But always get your share of every act of goodness. If you want to give a 1 rand, it's a 1 rand for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اتَّقِ النَّارَ وَلَوْ بِشِقٍ تَمَرَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَّتُ وَسَلَامُ. Have taqwa of the fire, even if it will be with a date pit. Meaning, you give that amount in charity. You're distancing yourself away from the fire with that amount in charity. So people send you WhatsApp messages in New Year about this pledge and that. Just participate. Don't think about it as in, what difference is this going to make? That's the wrong way to think. Think about it as, let me buy my share of this goodness so that I can also stand to benefit. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the understanding. Ameen. Okay, so now that takes us to the end of Ramadan. Now how about the day of Eid? The day and the night of Eid. There are a number of sunan. I'm going to run through them briefly. We'll try to keep it as short as possible, inshallah ta'ala. But it's an ideal opportunity today to speak about the sunnahs of the day of Eid, so that we have a way to engage on the day and not just go about the motions. We can understand. So in no particular order of importance, just a list nonetheless. Number one, doing ghusl before going out to the salah. So the ghusl for us should be from fajr. Right? There are some scholars and some madhab that speak about from after the middle of the night. But ideally, before you come to the masjid, so between fajr and the time that you come to the salah. The salah here is at 8 o'clock, by the way. The salah here will be at 8 o'clock. I will announce that again at the end, inshallah. It is, as Imam Nawawi mentions, unanimously agreed upon, this ijma' that we should take a ghusl before coming to the Eid Salah. And it's the same reason why it's sunnah to take a ghusl before coming to Jumu'ah. Because when we congregate with our community for a celebration, we need to smell nice. That's just the bottom line. You need to smell nice, you need to be presentable, you need to present yourself cleanly. Number two, on the day of Eid al-Fitr, to eat something, the Prophet ﷺ would eat an odd number of dates, before coming to the Musalla. This is just to distinguish the fact that you were fasting the day before and it is prohibited to fast on this day. Yesterday, not eating was serving Allah and obeying Allah. Today, eating is serving Allah and obeying Allah. Right? The difference between the day of Eid and the day before that. It's amazing, actually, if you think about it, it teaches us complete submission to Allah. It's like Allah teaching us that you will not eat when I command you and you will eat when I command you. And we obey entirely. So try to have something, inshallah, before coming to the Eid Salah. Maybe the salt flakes and the rasa and shibruat will be ready before you come to the masjid. So you can have a slice before you come, right? You can have something for breakfast, inshallah ta'ala. Number three, takbir on the day of Eid. Now the takbir on the day of Eid al-Fitr is mutlaq. It is not restricted. There's no specific takbir after the salahs, right? And it's easy to get this confused because there's only two Eids a year and we don't necessarily remember. But for the day of Eid al-Adha, right? After all the salahs in that period, the imam makes takbir and then they proceed with the other du'as. That doesn't take place in the day of Eid al-Fitr. It's not, assalamu alaykum rahmatullah, assalamu alaykum rahmatullah, Allahu Akbar Allah. There's no takbir there. You make your sunnahs as per normal, you read dhikr as per normal. But you can come to the masjid and make takbir in general between the waqts, right? So between Maghrib and Isha, for example, and then maybe after Isha and so on. But there's no takbir that follows the salah, right? It's technically not sunnah to do it. Like it's against the sunnah to do it in that way, okay? But it's not sinful. So if you find that people are doing it, a lot of people do it, right? Maghrib, Isha, and Fajr on the day of Eid, then they make takbir immediately after the salah. Don't make a big deal of it, but at least you are informed bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. This is different to the day of Eid al-Adha, where the takbir follows the praise. Now, why do we make takbir in the day of Eid? We mentioned this last week. وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ. Allah says, He wants you to complete the period in a good way, in an excellent way. So again, finish. Go till the end. Don't slow down. Okay, maybe you can slow down, but don't stop your activities of Ramadan, your ibadah activities until the very end. When we make takbir, we are thanking Allah for the guidance that He had given us. That's the reason why we make takbir. Your child is going to ask you one day and then you're going to have an answer for him or her. They're going to ask you, Daddy, why do we make takbir on Eid? The answer is because we are thanking Allah for the guidance that He had given us. We're thanking Him for making us Muslim, for making us of the Ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're thanking Him for giving us Ramadan, for giving us Laylatul Qadr, for giving us the Quran, for giving us Taraweeh, for giving us the fasting, and for giving us the gift of forgiveness. And all of that we express in Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. The takbir ends once the Eid Salah takes place. Right? After the Eid Salah, there's no takbir again. Thereafter, that is considered sunnah. And then there's no takbir for the rest of the day as well. So the only time you actually have to fulfill the sunnah of takbir is between Maghrib, if the moon is sighted, and then till Fajr, basically till Fajr, but until the Eid Salah. That's the only window. In that time period, make some time for takbir. Don't just listen to it on the radio. Gather your family,
right? And just sit in a circle and make some takbir. Or if you feel awkward about that, then take your family to the local masjid and go and sit there and make some takbir. It's the sunnah way of celebrating Eid. Imagine you follow all of the other Cape Town sunnahs of Buba and of... And then you don't follow the Prophet's awesome sunnah. They make musi sunni, right? So we have some time for the sunnah of Eid by making takbir. Make a point of it this year. The Sahaba used to say, when they used to walk in the marketplaces, they could hear the takbir. When they walked past the masajid, they heard the takbir. It was a buzz on the night of Eid. People must know. That's why I really like this idea of the jama'ahs going from home to home, house to house on the night of Eid, just to go make takbir, like no other reason. I think it's a beautiful way of celebrating Eid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. So don't deprive ourselves of this important sunnah. Then the next point is the fitrah. It is a zakah. Fitrah is zakah. If anyone can afford, if I can afford, I'm going to use myself as an example. If I can afford food and shelter and clothing for the day of Eid and the night of Eid, and I still have money left over, I must pay fitrah. That's how important it is. Everyone is included. To the point that even my four-year-old daughter, if she's my dependent, like she depends on me and I provide for her, then I need to pay her fitrah as well. Right? She maybe have like nothing, but the person who sees to their needs must pay their fitrah. This is so that all Muslims can celebrate on the day of Eid. And subhanAllah, it's amazing. How much is fitrah? Now the minimum that says 27 rand. It's incredible. It's unbelievable how much charity that amounts to and how much people benefit from that. It's like, how come we don't do this every month? You know? Why isn't there like a fitrah that you must give every month? Now obviously, there are people for whom 27 rand for each person in the family is going to be a lot. But for many people, it's nothing. For many people, they won't even feel that pinch. Allah grant us the understanding. But alhamdulillah, at least we have a few occasions where everybody becomes super charitable. May Allah not take that away from us. So fitrah must be paid, and it must be paid before the procedures on the morning of Eid. But don't wait until then, right? Obviously, and I don't think you can pay any longer. The committee has finished their cut-off date. But if you forgot and you're sitting here now today, when you leave, go pay it straight away elsewhere, inshallah ta'ala. Number four, offering congratulations on the day of Eid, right? What I notice is there's a lot of people who try to say what they heard other people say, madan sikilala. And they say something in my ear, and they say, what say you, manier? But mashallah, the simple way to offer congratulations on the day of Eid is taqabbal Allah minna wa minkum. Right? There are other things that people also say. What's some of the things? Can I say? Faizin. Kullu aam wa antum bi khair. Those are all good, no problem. But if you want to keep it simple, taqabbal Allah minna wa minkum. May Allah accept from us and from you. The Sahaba used to greet like this. May Allah accept from us and from you. And you can say bayu salamat also, that's fine. Right? Eid Mubarak, those are all things fine. But the point is to offer congratulations. So don't think it's a petty, wasted exercise when you see people going around to their families and greeting everyone. No, it's a good thing. We should go and offer congratulations. And what I also really love about the day of Eid, other than all of the ibadat, is the signs of Muslims are everywhere. Like everyone is Muslim on the day of Eid. Amal Drakofias and Tukis, and it's a beautiful thing. And you see children running around, getting money, saying, Salam, I see it. They're not Muslim at all. But so what? Right? So what? If our children have to sing Christmas carols at school, then their children can also collect money on Eid Day. I suppose it's fine. Right? And don't also be of that Muslim people who make the children bacha the shahada before you give them money. It happens. It really happens. Adorning oneself in the day of Eid. Look nice in the day of Eid. Wear good clothes. The Prophet ﷺ used to have a garment that he would wear specifically for Jumu'ah and specifically for Eid. So something special. And looking nice and presentable. Obviously the best is, you know, as close to the sunnah as possible. You don't have to only wear things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wore. It's not haram to wear other clothing, but look decent and presentable and celebrate the day of Eid, right? Like a Muslim would celebrate the day of Eid. I think that should be sufficient. That should be sufficient. I shouldn't have to get into, don't wear, you know, clothes that expose your aura and so on. That's just absurd. How do you celebrate a day of obedience to Allah in the disobedience of Allah? That doesn't make sense. So don't throw your ibadah away because of fashion trends or whatever the case may be. Now, obviously, it's a bigger struggle for our sisters than it is for the men, right? Because the world has made it such that looking nice means looking naked, okay? And that's a real problem. So you need to involve your sisters, your daughters, your wives with other ladies who find beauty in what is really beautiful, in Islam's beauty. And they completely embrace it. But that aside, for men as well, don't just put on whatever on the day of Eid. Look nice. Wear your best clothing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And for the sake of jama'ah, you presenting yourself to the other people, look nice for them, that's why we dress nice. But لَيْسَ الْعِيدِ لِمَنْ لَبِسَ الْجَدِيدِ إِنَّمَا الْعِيدِ لِمَنْ خَافَ الْوَعِيدِ As the saying goes, Eid is not for those who wear new clothes. That's not the reason why there's a Eid. Eid is for those who are fearing Allah, in awe of Allah, respecting Allah. And your clothing, I also said, and I stress this point, dress like you are celebrating as a Muslim. Don't follow the fashion trends of the West, right? So don't come dressed in like a rapper or with a wrestler across your sweater and his muscles coming out there, you know? And khawa kitang matusit. No, man. Look decent, right? Just wear plain clothes rather. But don't imitate bad influences. Allah grant us the understanding. And then the last point is going to the salah on one route and returning from a different route. Right? It was narrated that Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, on the day of Eid, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to vary his route. It was said that the reason for that was so that the roads that you travel on could testify for you on the day of Qiyamah. Remember, the earth, every piece of ground, is going to speak on the day of Qiyamah. That's why, I don't think you know this, but that's why when we pray sunnahs, we generally swap places. Okay, pre-COVID days, we would swap places. The point of that is that you cover more surface area of the dunya with salah, so that more pieces of land can make shahada for you on the day of Qiyamah. And so this person prayed on me, right? So we vary the routes. There's another reason for it as well. There are two more reasons. The one is to manifest the symbols of Islam, which is what we mentioned earlier on. You see Muslims all over. Every car has a kufiya in it or a duki in it because people are going to say salama to their families. So that is another reason for that. The non-Muslims must see the Muslims are here, they are present, and they love their religion, they love their deen. And then the last reason, the most beautiful of it, is that when the Eid gathering comes to an end, Allah says to the malaika, oh my angels, go to them. It's after Allah, and we'll talk about it on Eid day, inshallah. Go to them, go to the musalli. Tell them to stand and go back to their families. I have forgiven them now. Subhanallah. And then the malaika stand in all the corners as the believers go back to their homes to greet them and congratulate them for the accomplishments that they got in Ramadan. And all of this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our days of Eid are days of sacrifice. They are days, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically said, they're days of eating and drinking and being with family in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why it is haram to fast on the day of Eid, right? So don't, and this is again a side lesson, but a beautiful one nonetheless. We don't get to decide what is piety. Like somebody might imagine, right? That look, everybody's going to be eating on the day of Eid. I'm going to be so pious that I'm going to fast on the day of Eid. It sounds like a logical thing to do. But no, that would be committing a haram. So we don't imagine what is good and what is bad. What is good is determined by Allah and His Rasul, and what is bad is determined by Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a very important lesson. If you think about it, it will open up some ideas to you, because the way the world works today, people think that religion is only good when it conforms to our ideas of what is good and bad. But if religion doesn't conform to our ideas of morals and ethics, then that religion is ancient, draconic, archaic, throw it away, it's backward, right? But no, we don't, Muslims are not like this. We shouldn't be like this, and we shouldn't believe this. Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decides what is good and bad. So in conclusion, it's the last moments, the last days and nights of Ramadan now. What we should focus on is, number one, istighfar. Asking Allah's forgiveness. Number two, qabuliyya, that Allah accepts what we did. Number three, for istiqama, that Allah Ta'ala grants us some consistency with what He has given us. And then we spoke about the sunnahs of the day of Eid. We mentioned seven points that I mentioned in total. And we pray and beg of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal to see that we have a beautiful ending to a beautiful Ramadan. That Allah Ta'ala accept all of our acts of piety, of obedience and ibadah, and that He grants us the tawfiq through that fatigue and through the tiredness to still complete it and to still stand till the end and still make it till the end in a better way than we even started it. May Allah Ta'ala forgive our shortcomings and mistakes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of our salah, our Quran recitation, i'tikaf, du'as, all the dhikr, all the charity that has been going on. May Allah Ta'ala accept all of our good deeds and make it a means for us to enter into Jannah forever. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our bad deeds and all of our sins and close the doors of Jahannam upon us forever and grant us that ability and that strength that we need in order to defeat Shaitan when he is released. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. The only announcement that I already made actually is that Eid Salah will take place at 8 a.m. on the day of Eid. Is there anything else that I'm missing out? No? 8 a.m. on the day of Eid, inshallah ta'ala. So all are welcome for that. Barakallahu fikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة الصلاه حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الذي أنزل القرآن في شهر رمضان وأوجب العمل به في كل مكان وزمان وأعلى بحكمته دين الإسلام على سائر الأديان أحمده سبحانه وتعالى وهو المحمود بكل لسان وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له استأثر بالبقاء وكل من عليها فان وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدًا عبده ورسوله الذي ختم به الأنبياء وأوضح به نهج الإيمان اللهم صلِّ وسلِّم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أهل العلم والعرفان أما بعد فيا أيها الناس اتقوا الله تعالى وحافظوا على أركان الإسلام وشعب الإيمان وتمسكوا بكتاب الله واعتصموا به من مضلات الفتن ونزغات الشيطان أنزله الله شفاء لما في الصدور وبينات من الهدى والفرقان أمر فيه ونهى وذكر بوعده ووعيده من غفل وسهى قال الله عز وجل بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن أحسنتم أحسنتم لأنفسكم وإن أسأتم فلها فاتقوا الله عباد الله وتوبوا إليه واستغفروه من تقصيركم وأنيبوا وإياكم والمجاهرة في الأعياد بقبيح الإثم والفساد واحذروا طاعة الشيطان فإنها مقرونة بغضب الرحمن ويحذركم الله والله رؤوف بالعباد اللهم ربنا قنا عذاب النار واغفر لنا ما اكتسبناه من الذنوب والأوزار أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم صدق الله مولانا العظيم أخرج مسلم في صحيحه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال التمسوها يعني ليلة القدر في العشر الأواخر فإن ضعف أحدكم أو عجز فلا يغلبن على السبع البواقي وأخرج الإمام أحمد عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال أعطيت أمتي في رمضان خمس خصال لم تعط أمة قبلهم خلوف فم الصائم أطيب عند الله من ريح المسك وتستغفر لهم الملائكة حتى يفطروا ويزين الله كل يوم جنته ثم يقول يوشك عبادي الصالحون أن يلقوا عنهم المؤونة والأذى ويصيروا إليك ويصفد فيه مردة الشياطين فلا يخلصون فيه إلى ما كانوا يخلصون في غيره ويغفر لهم في آخر ليلة قيل يا رسول الله أهي ليلة القدر؟ قال لا ولكن العامل إنما يوفى أجره إذا قضى عمله بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن ونفعني وإياكم بما فيه من البيان أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم
اللهم صل وسلم وزد وادم وأنعم وتفضل وبارك بجلالك وكمالك على زين عبادك وأشرف عبادك سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وصحبه وبارك وسلم وسلم ورضي الله تبارك وتعالى.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة، من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعصهما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه، وأصدقهم حياء عثمان رضي الله تعالى عنه، وأقضاهم علي رضي الله تعالى عنه، وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة رضي الله تعالى عنها، والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة رضي الله تعالى عنهما، وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضي الله تعالى عنه، وأن الصحابة أجمعين. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، وألف بين قلوبنا وأصلح ذات بيننا. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين، وانصر عبادك الموحدين. اللهم اجعلنا من عتقاء شهر رمضان. اللهم إنك عفو كريم رحيم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم، ودعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقيموا الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله،
لا إله إلا الله، محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. استقيموا. استقيموا استقيموا واعتدلوا يرحمكم الله وتراسوا. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت، وإلى السماء كيف رفعت، وإلى الجبال وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت، وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت. فذكر إنما أنت مذكر، لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله أستغفر الله العظيم أستغفر الله العظيم أستغفر الله العظيم والتواب الرحيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه ونسألك توبة ومغفرة إنه هو التواب الرحيم الفاتحة بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والجنة للوحدين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم إنك عفو كريم حليم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو كريم حليم عظيم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو كريم حليم تحب العفو عفو عنا ربنا آمنا بما أنزلت وتبعنا رسولا فاكتبنا مع الشاهدين. اللهم في مرضانا، اللهم في مرضانا، اللهم في مرضانا وارحم موتنا يا رب العالمين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا واغفر لنا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك سلام، تباركت ربنا وتعاليت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، سمعنا وأطعنا فرانك ربنا والنصير. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. قبل الله.